You got a friend in me.
You've got a friend in me.
Celebrate friendship and beyond during the first ever Pixar Fest with the all-new Pixar-themed fireworks spectacular and your favorite park parades. Celebrate from April 13th through September 3rd, only at Disneyland Resort. Visit Disneyland.com for details.
There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you.
You've got a friend in me.
Entertainment subject to change without notice.
From Paris to Portland, you've picked up the guidebooks. You've followed the advice. This is the Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer, president of Fromer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Fromers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Fromer's guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. I'm Pauline Fromer.
And I'm Jason Cochran.
And we're going to spend the next hour talking with you, answering your travel questions that you can call in to 800-848-WABC, which is 800-848-9222, to get the conversation started. We have up on Fromers.com a really nifty new article. It's on where are the best places to go in the United States in spring. So we're going to ask you all. We know what our author came up with. Zach Thompson did a great job on the article. But we want to find out if we missed any good places. So if you have thoughts on where the best places to go in spring are, give us a call, 800-848-9222. And you know, people are already calling the number, so let's move right to the phones. We have Norman calling from Millstone, New Jersey. Hey, Norman, thanks for calling.
Hi, Pauline. Thanks for having me on. I live in Millstone Township, New Jersey.
Okay, great.
Near Six Flags Great Adventure, if you're familiar at all.
Oh, yeah.
We have a question. We're taking a cruise this summer in August of 2018. And it's a cruise of the Mediterranean, and there's some ports to call. We're going to land in Barcelona, Spain. Then we're going to Valencia, Spain. We're going to Florence, Italy, and Rome, Italy. I'd like to know if you can give me the name of some companies that would arrange a proper pickup and tours from the ship. Not from the ship's bursa, but some private companies.
Sure. So you're looking, Norman, for things that aren't part of the excursions that the ship is trying to sell you, but is maybe an independent company that will do it for you. Is that right?
Exactly.
Well, the two names that we usually mention are ShoreTrips.com, and the other one is CruisingExcursions.com. And the nice thing about both of these companies is they vet local companies. They make sure they're good. If they get, you know, complaints, they ditch them. But these are local companies that usually run much smaller tours. So instead of being with 40 other people in a bus, as you would if you booked through the cruise lines, you'll be with maybe 12 people in a van, or you can do private altogether. And the nice thing about these two companies is they give you a guarantee that if you miss the boat, they will pay to get you to the next cruise port, which is very important. That being said, for Barcelona, of the ones you're going to, it's pretty easy just to wander off the ship and tour on your own. The other ones, you'll need transportation, because you're actually not going to Rome. You're going to Civitavecchia. Do you know, Jason, the name of the port for Florence?
Is it Livorno?
Livorno, yeah. So you're going to be far from those cities.
Yeah, because Florence is in the middle of the country. You'll need to get on a bus for about an hour and a half to get there. So for sure, you'll need transportation. But these companies will sell that to you. Or these websites will find companies that will sell them to you.
So I hope that helps, Norman. Have a wonderful cruise. I think it should be a good one. Let's turn next to Paul in Middlesex, New Jersey. Hey, Paul, nice to speak with you.
Oh, hi. Hi, Pauline. Hi, Jason. Thanks for taking my call. I was planning a trip in late May, myself and my wife, to Key West, Florida. And I was looking at different options and the best ways to plan it. I did want a hotel that was on the beach there, and as I understand, many of them are not. I was looking and trying to identify the best way to, you know, which hotel would work for me. And also the planning if I looked at, I would fly from Newark, and I looked at flying directly to Key West or looking at Miami, because Miami has many flights, it's considerably cheaper. But I also looked at one of the major airlines does have a vacation planning where they do flight and package it with hotel. And that seemed to be the best choice, but I just wasn't sure how to go about this. You know, how do you find in Key West which hotel is on the beach, which is the best option? Which way should I go as far as planning, you know, direct flights? Okay.
Well, that's a whole enchilada of questions that you've asked there.
Yeah.
But let me try. When it comes to getting to Key West, if you don't have much time, obviously you can fly into the island. But I prefer to drive from Miami for a couple reasons. One is that the drive to Key West from island to island to island across very long bridges, one of them the famous 7 mile long bridge, it's one of the great drives in the United States. It's just a little strip of road going from island to island across the water, and it is so beautiful. It's actually it's part of the vacation experience for me in Key West, and I spent a lot of time there. I grew up there partly when I was a kid with my family, so I'm a big fan of driving into Key West for the sights of along the way, and also because you get a real sense of how isolated the island is from the rest of the United States. And you don't get that sense so much if you just hop onto it in an airplane. So I think it'll enrich your experience to drive from Miami. It'll take about, I want to say about 3 hours, but you can stop. There's lots of great little cafes and places that, you know, serve fish sandwiches and things like that as you drive along. So there's lots to do and see, lots of state parks, that kind of stuff. Now, in terms of a place to stay, I recommend you find someplace in Old Town Key West. That, yes, there are not a lot on the water. There are a few. The Pier House, the Hyatt, which is now a Jimmy Buffett Margaritaville resort, they're in Old Town. And Old Town is where you can walk everywhere you need to go. Some of the newer, bigger resorts that are on the beach are a little further from town, and you require transportation to get to the museums and to the boutiques and things like that. So if you pick an Old Town place, like I said, the Pier House has been going for probably 50 years, and we used to stay there when I was young, and it was a motel. Now it's like a $300, you know, a night place, but it's right there on the water at the end of Duval Street, and I think it's a good choice.
I hope.
What if you wanted to mix both beach and other things too?
Mind you, now don't forget, Key West isn't known for its beaches. What people like to do there is they snorkel, or they go out on fishing boats, or they go out to the Tortugas, or to the Fort Jefferson National Park, which was a Civil War prison. Beaches aren't the strong suit in Key West. There are a few. They're not in Old Town. They're in what we call New Town, which is the eastern end of the island near the airport. So it's easy to get around town. You can rent a bike. You can rent a moped. That's no problem. You're not going to find it hard to get around. But most of the beaches are not in the historic part of town.
I hope that helps, Paul. Thanks for calling. Let's move on to Carol in Newtown, Pennsylvania. Hey, Carol, thanks for calling.
Hi. How are you doing?
Well.
I'm going to be taking a Viking River cruise, and I'm starting out in Budapest. And I'm going to take a side trip to Prague, and I'm not going to be there. I'm just going to be there for the day. And I wanted to know what to do there that I could do really quickly.
Oh, boy, there's so much to see and do in Prague.
I know.
If you want, with only one day, I think you would spend the morning seeing the medieval sites. So their famous town square with the clock. They have a gorgeous clock that tolls on the hour. The Charles Bridge, the castle, which is one of the oldest in Europe. So that would be the morning, a very quick morning. You wouldn't be able to linger much in those places. And then in the afternoon, I would do the Jewish quarter. Hitler, during World War II, Hitler made a conscious decision that's been recorded in history books to make Prague a museum to the race he was about to destroy. And so he purposefully kept the synagogues of Prague pristine. And they're absolutely gorgeous. They look like cathedrals in terms of the level of their design and the soaring spaces. And nearby is a wonderful old cemetery where, if you know the Yiddish play, The Golem, that was set there. But so I would do the medieval stuff in the morning and the Jewish stuff in the afternoon. You're going to miss a lot, but, you know, that's the heart of it, I think.
Okay. Now, what about in Budapest? What's probably, do you have any good things for me to... I know I'm going to go to the baths and stuff like that. Is there anything I
Well, I was going to say the baths. I mean, that's a classic thing to do. You can often find... it's a big music city, and sometimes in these beautiful old churches, there will be performances going on around lunchtime or in the afternoon, and that can be a wonderful thing to do. Jason, do you have anything?
Also, Buda Castle. It's one of the staple tourist sites. It's on the Buda side of the river, and you get a good view of the Pest side of the river. It's, I think a lot of tourists will go there, and it's sort of a medieval-feeling place, and you get a good view. So, you know, when you have a real short time in any city, my choice is always to walk as much as possible, because if you spend all your time at one tourist site, you don't get the flavor of the city. So I wouldn't load it up with attractions. I just sort of wander, and if something catches your eye, go do it. But soak up the city as much as you can on foot.
Yeah, you both.
Yeah, I'm
going to
be in Budapest for like 4 days. So the one I'm really not going to be there that long is Prague. That's why I wanted to. Now, are there tours you think when you get there? Because I'm actually flying into Prague for the day. So are there tours there or just
dozens, thousands? I mean, if you pick up Frommer's, we have actually nice books to both those cities. They're called Day by Day Guides, Frommer's Day by Day Prague and Frommer's Day by Day Budapest, which give you self-guided walking tours if you want to do that, and also suggestions for tour companies.
And Prague has the old hop-on, hop-off bus like all the big tourist cities. You won't find any scarcity of opportunity like that. Yeah.
We have to take a break, unfortunately. But to Bob, we will get to you as soon as we get back after these messages. And anybody else who wants to call us, 800-848-9222. I know we had Vinny on the line and we lost him. And I was hoping to get to your comment next. So do call back because I want to. I thought you had a really good suggestion with, well, I won't give it away. So give a call, 800-848-9222. Back in a flash.
Pauline Frommer, Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show. Only here, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
This program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit A-L-L-I-A-N-Z, travelinsurance.com. And let's get right back to the phones. Once again, our number is 800-848-9222. Bob, we thank you for your patience. What's on your mind?
Hello, I'm interested in going to Greece at the end of September and early October. And we're going to be using a travel agent, Odyssey, and I'm not familiar with this travel agent, and I'm not familiar if this is a good time of the year to go to Greece.
I think it's a great time of year to go to Greece. It's perfect. It still will be warm enough to swim in most places. If you go into the Greek countryside, there may be harvest festivals going on around the grapes that will be being harvested at that time. As for the travel agency, I haven't heard of them. Have you, Jason?
No. I haven't heard anything about them.
It doesn't necessarily mean that they're not good. It just means they haven't crossed our radar. What I would suggest is be sure to ask them for some references. And do check on the site of the, oh my goodness, what's that consumer agency? A Better Business Bureau. Better Business Bureau. Blanked on it. But other than that, I think it's a wonderful time of year to go because all of the summer crowds will have dispersed.
And don't, you know, for others who are listening and thinking about maybe going to Greece one day, around mid-October, when he's going to be wrapping up his trip, is when the Greek tourist season will end. So a lot of places will close between mid-October and mid-April or so. So going at the tail end of the season is a great idea because it's going to be at least less crowded than it normally is and less expensive.
Yeah. Have a wonderful time, Bob. Thank you for calling. Let's turn to Judy in Yardley, Pennsylvania. Hey, Judy, thanks for tuning in.
Oh, sure. My pleasure. I've listened to the Frommer Travel Show for years and love it.
Oh, thank you.
So I would like to recommend Tucson, Arizona in early spring. It's a great place to go with families, especially elementary school children. The desert's in bloom. The Sonoran Desert Museum is magnificent. The hiking is fabulous. The Titan Missile Museum is within driving distance. Bisbee, the caves, There's so much to do there, and it's just a perfect time of year to go.
I'm so glad you mentioned Bisbee. You know, that made our list on Fromers.com of one of the best places to go in 2018. But that's interesting that you say that about Arizona. I took a spring break vacation to Arizona. We didn't go to Tucson, though. We probably should have. We went to the Grand Canyon, and it was snowing in mid-March, which made the Grand Canyon look gloriously beautiful, but cut down on visibility at certain times.
Right. Well, early spring in Tucson is just such a perfect time because it doesn't have that oppressive heat.
Right.
The desert is blooming. There's just so much to do. When my sons were younger, I was a single parent, and I took them 3 different years to Tucson. Run out of things to do there.
And you didn't run out of things to do there. Well, thank you so much. That's a great suggestion.
Judy
really
has hit on a really good idea, which is sometimes you want to go places in springtime that would be too unpleasant to go to in summertime. And I think Tucson is over 100 degrees on many days in the summertime, so go in the spring. You know, and get the flowers that only bloom in the spring in the desert to boot. So Judy had a good idea there for a spring vacation.
Yeah,
I think.
And I think Gary also has an idea. Gary from Edison, New Jersey, on the phone with his tip for a spring break vacation. So what is it, Gary?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The Washington, D.C., when they have the cherry blossoms and they have a big festival.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing to do.
And that would be an excellent thing. Then I have a comment for the person who's on the cruise going to Civitavecchia and taking the train into Station Termini. If they arrange a half-a-day tour where they can end up getting to see some sites of their specialty, whatever they want to see. Because obviously you can't see all of Rome.
No.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And Washington, D.C. during the Cherry Blossom Festival, that's a classic. It's expensive. That's the most expensive time of year to go. But what a great time. And for people who don't know the history, we have those cherry blossoms thanks to Japan. The Japanese government, I believe at the turn of the last century, gifted Washington, D.C. with all of those glorious cherry trees, and they still are blossoming today.
And they have a lot of music festivals there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, that gets really hot in the summertime as well in D.C. You know, the Martin Luther King Memorial that opened up a few years ago is surrounded by cherry trees that they planted just for the memorial. And the bloom happens every year around April, early April, late March. And that is actually the time of year that he was assassinated. So each year, and this was a plan, each year, all the trees around the memorial bloom intentionally to mark his assassination, to remember him.
Wow.
And one more thing, you know, checking online, because they can tell you about where they're on peak blossom and everything.
Right, absolutely. Well, thank you for calling, Gary,
with
that terrific recommendation. Let's turn to Mary in Manasquan, New Jersey. Did I pronounce that right, Mary?
Yes, Colleen. Nice to talk to you.
You too.
My husband and I have a quick question. We are going on a cruise, which is ending in Bali next March. And we're wondering, we're looking at the Four Seasons resorts. There's 2 of them on the I guess, island. And we're wondering how many days we should spend there.
Well, Bali's fascinating. Bali is the only Hindu island in the midst of what is the world's largest Muslim nation. And they have a form of Hinduism that's very theatrical, I think I can say. For example, if there is a funeral, they have these massive processions through the streets that look like a parade, a happy parade. If a wedding is going on, everybody's invited. At the temples, there are these extraordinary ceremonies that take place most every day. So what you do when you go to Bali is you spend your time exploring the culture. They also have a very long artisan tradition there, one that has gotten intimately wrapped up with tourism, but each little town makes a different thing. So you go to one town and it's all wood carvers, another town it's painters, another town it's stone carvers. And so the shopping is incredible.
Oh, wonderful.
If you have, like, if you need a dresser or if you need an armoire, take the measurements with you to Bali, even with the cost of shipping it, it will be far cheaper than what you could find here in the United States and beautifully handcrafted.
Oh, terrific.
So there's so much to see and do there.
Now, do you think 5 days would be enough? Because we'll already have been away 19 on the cruise. Do you think five in Bali would be good?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know where the Four Seasons are offhand.
There's one on the beach and one on a riverside, kind of a little inland. And so they're very different experiences. One, I would probably say you'd want the one away from the water because you have been on a cruise for such a long time.
You're going to be...
Yeah, and also it's a little cheaper than the one on the beach, too, because so many honeymooners want to go to the beach one. So I think it's about $200 a night cheaper to stay. The one in the forest is called the Sayan, S-A-Y-A-N.
Yes. That being said, I mean, the Four Seasons obviously is going to be very glam and luxe, but one of the wonderful things about going to Bali is staying in one of the former palaces that will be locally owned and having that kind of experience. I know there are some in Ubud. I'm not sure if there are some in other parts of Bali, but maybe go away from the chain. Maybe a locally owned place will give you a more authentic version of Bali.
Sure. I'll look into that.
Okay.
Right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary.
Love speaking to you.
You too. We have to take another break. Before we do, two things. Number one, call us. We want to talk to you. We're bored with each other. Jason and I talk all the time. So call us at 800-848-9222. Don't be shy. Number two is we hope that you're enjoying getting this level of travel information on the radio, in our guidebooks, on Fromers.com, and as well, you can now get it through Allianz Travel Insurance. That's right. When you buy a policy through Allianz, they are going to send you for 24 or so destinations really good information, and I can say that because it comes from Fromers, about that destination. You will get info on the best places to go, how to create an itinerary, and so much more. To learn all about this program, go to Allianz travelinsurance.com. That's Allianz travelinsurance.com.
This is the Fromer Travel Show. Inspiring locations, inspiring ideas for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
That's right. You are listening to the Fromer Travel Show. We're taking your calls at 800-848-9222. And that is the number that Denise called. Denise is calling from Oyster Bay. Hey, Denise. Nice to speak with you.
Hello. Thank you. I have about, you have to hear this, I have a daughter getting married outside of Barcelona this summer.
Wow.
Leblanas, it's a convent, Leblanas, it's overlooking the Mediterranean, okay? I have new in-laws in London, and I am someone who fears traveling and flying. I've talked to psychologists, and I've read books, and the only thing in my life that I have got to get over is this fear of travel. So people say, well, what are you afraid of? Afraid of crashing in the plane, I'm afraid of terrorism, I'm afraid, and it's really putting a big damper on my life, because one of my great desires would be to be a traveler. Is there anything that you can say, or a buzzword, or anything that could get me excited about traveling without fearing it so much?
Well, is it
And I'm logical. I am a logical person.
Yeah.
So I understand statistics.
Is it the flying, or is it the travel, or is it both?
It's the flying. I mean, it's just, I hit a bump of turbulence. Oh, my gosh, and I am a basket case.
Well, go ahead, Jason. I think you got
You know, I know you may not know that Whoopi Goldberg is terrified of flying as well. In fact, so much so that she bought a coach, a bus, has a permanent driver who would drive her across America. That's how she would get around. And a couple years ago, she had to fly to London, kind of like you're having to do, because Sister Act, which was a musical she produced, was opening. Virgin Atlantic Airlines, for about 20 years, has had a program that's about conquering the fear of flying. It's a day workshop. They bring pilots in to teach you how airplanes work and why you're probably, don't have to worry at all. And they bring psychologists in. Here's the catch. They only do it about 20 times a year in the UK. But you said you have some in-laws in London now.
Yes,
if you can brave the five-hour flight to the UK, and in that case, my code word would be Xanax, then
you could possibly take
this fear of flying, because Virgin Atlantic even promises you a refund on your next Virgin Atlantic flight if they haven't cured your fear of flying.
I have another idea for you. If you have
the time,
how about just take crossing the Atlantic by boat? You could take the QE too.
I've done that. I've traveled. We've flown. And when I get there, I love it. And then the minute my feet are on the ground, I'm thinking about the trip on the way back.
But what, so why, if you could, you could take the boat each way, and then you could take a train to Barcelona. I mean, it will take forever. You're adding a lot of time in, but it's a wonderful thing to do.
Our flights are already booked. We are going to Barcelona. Okay. We are going to Paris, and we are going to London and Madrid.
You said you know the statistics. Anytime you step into a car, you are 100 times more in danger than you are on any flight. Yes. I mean, if you can just and the turbulence in the air, no flight has ever dropped out of the air because of turbulence. The two most dangerous times in a flight are takeoff and landing. So maybe you can be very nervous for those and then relax once you're in the sky, knowing that you're probably okay. I hope this helps, Denise.
Thank you. And you're so joyful in your travel and the way you speak of it. And I think, if I could only be that way, I'm going to endeavor to become more that way. Thank you
so
much.
Good for you.
And
congratulations on your daughter. That's so exciting. Let's turn next to Diane. Diane is calling from Long Island. Hey, Diane, nice to speak with you.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Okay, so I have this trip planned to go down to the Florida Keys, which I've never been to before. I have to fly into Fort Lauderdale, and then my idea is to rent a car and travel down. So my question is, because I don't know anything about the Keys, I wanted to spend time in Key West, which to me looks the most exciting. So I'm thinking of doing the vacation rental by owner, because I've been looking on those, and they look really adorable and just the kind of vacation I'm looking for. So my question is, I'm going a Tuesday to Tuesday at the end of April. Do I do like 5 days in Key West and then travel back? I heard the Isle of Mirada is beautiful. Spend a couple of days in there and then, drive back to Fort Lauderdale to catch the plane. Or do I do all my days in Key West and then, just take day trips to the different other keys and then, end the trip that way?
Most people I know are perfectly happy to just stay on Key West. You park your car, forget about it. But now, then again, if you are a snorkeler or a diver, you might want to spend a little more extra time in the other keys, like Isla Mirada, the place you're talking about. There's a number of state parks, as I was mentioning to a caller earlier. There's the John Pennekamp Coral Reef State Park. Most of the stuff to see there is under the water, of course, in the shallows, so it's very easy to do. And also Bahia Honda State Park. And also there's Everglades National Park, which is at the bottom tip of Florida, which you'll pass on the way up to Fort Lauderdale. So if you're a nature person, there's lots to see and do. If you're a key lime pie and cocktail person, you might want to hang out a little longer in Key West.
All right. See, I really wanted beaches, but I heard you say that it's not really known for its beaches.
There are beaches, but it's not why people tend to go. They tend to go for the culture and to have a cold beer on Duval Street and for the artists and for snorkeling and diving and fishing. That tends to be what people do. And I'm not a beachy guy myself, and I still love going to Key West.
Okay. I think I'll stay in Key West and just go exploring and look at the other keys. That sounds good.
The keys are long. It'll take you 2.5 hours to get from Key West to the mainland of Florida. So don't think you can make day trips out of everything in the keys. If there's anywhere you'd want to stop, you'd stop in the middle, like Isla Mirada or Marathon, and then you can use those sort of to fan out on the top part of the keys. But there's lots to see and do, but if you're not an outdoorsy person, there's a little less to do.
And we have a great book, Frommer's Easy Guide to Miami and the Keys, which is out now, written by a lovely guy, David Appel, lives in Miami. Great information in that. We hope you'll pick it up. Let's turn back to the phones. We have Richard calling from New Rochelle. Hey, Richard, nice to speak with you.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing? Hi, I have a question for you. That is, you know, I spoke to your representative, and I listen to you all the time. The thing is, I'm headed to Victoria Falls, and one day in Johannesburg in between or up front, and then I'm headed to Cape Town. I just have like a double question. Just how many days do you think I would need to enjoy Victoria Falls and Cape Town? And when I was really concerned about safety in Cape Town, what can you tell me about that?
Okay, for Victoria Falls, most people stay a night or two. You explore the falls, you maybe do one or two outdoorsy activities around Vic Falls, and then you're done.
Okay.
So that's what most people tend to do. Now, Cape Town, people will wish they could stay much longer than they end up, you know, because it's such a magical city and there's so much to see and do.
Right.
So as much time as you feel like scheduling in Cape Town, you probably won't be sorry, because you can go down to the Cape of Good Hope, which is the point at the very bottom.
Right.
You can go out to the winelands. In terms of safety, I mean, I'm guessing that you've been a New Yorker for a long time.
Yeah, and I've traveled pretty extensively for it. I've been very fortunate in that respect.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stay on Long Street.
Yeah, Long Street is a lot of the budget accommodations are on Long Street. Hey, here's what I say about that. If you can be a New Yorker, and especially if you were a New Yorker in the 80s or the early 90s, you can do Cape Town. You just keep your street smarts.
Okay.
Another great thing that's happened to Cape Town in the last 5 years is Uber, because you can just hail cars from, you know, from the door of your hotel to the door where you're going. And if you don't feel like walking the streets, if for some reason you are uncomfortable. But, you know, I just say have a sense of your surroundings. Johannesburg, a little more of a dangerous reputation than Cape Town. But not enough to say keep away. I think both are pretty great places. But Cape Town, one of the most magical places in the world. Take Ubers everywhere. Spend more time. Schedule more time than you think you even need.
Great. Can I just one more brief question? Is it a one-day trip from, let's say, the center of Cape Town down to the Cape of Good Hope, like and back?
You'd probably rent a car or take a tour. It takes about an hour and a half to get down to the national park. And it's a beautiful coastal drive going down. And you can see the penguin colony on the way back up. So a full day, I would think, is a good amount of time.
We have to take a break. Before we go, you know, it's so great to get away in spring. It's spring break time. But things can go wrong. So you want to have a company on your side that's going to protect you. We think that company should be Allianz Travel Insurance. They cover both domestic and international trips. They have policies that cover you for one trip or all of your trips for a year. They even offer rental car coverage for just $9 a day, which is much less than the rental car companies charge at the counter. To learn more about Allianz Travel Insurance, visit Allianz. travelinsurance.com. That's Allianz travelinsurance.com.
The most popular destinations for you and your family right here. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran, the Frommer Travel Show, 77 WABC.
This week's program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment from unexpected problems with Allianz. Visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. And let me remind you all, we are taking your calls, 800-848-9222. But before we get back to the calls, Jason, give us some bad news.
You know, there was a collective shriek on Twitter on Wednesday when the Disney company made a certain announcement.
Oof.
Now, people who have been to Disney in Florida already probably know how expensive it is. I mean, the Disney-run hotels are two or three times as much as all the hotels that are off-property that don't have the Disney label on them. Well, what Disney has decided to do that it has never done before at these hotels is, on top of what you're paying, you now have to pay to park every single day. Now, for years, this was one of the great reasons to book a Disney hotel, is you get to park for free and then use all of the transportation systems that exist within the resort to get around. But now you're going to have to pay as much as $24 a night, adding, for a one-week vacation, you know, almost $200 more on top of all the other expenses. And I think a lot of Disney fans are starting to reappraise their relationship with the company from what I've been reading online.
Mm.
They feel like it's unnecessary. They feel like it's petty. After all, the company made more than $1 billion in profit the last quarter alone. And so I'm seeing a lot of people say, you know, it's not a necessary thing to do. They own the land. Why do we need to pay? Now, Disney is saying, I'll put its word out there, that other hotels are doing it. We're just doing what other people are doing, and to which the Disney fans have immediately shot back, yeah, but you have always told us that you're different. You told us that Disney does things differently, and now you're being as greedy as the people that we were choosing Disney to avoid. What do you think of this,
and,
Pauline?
Well, isn't it the case that if you just drive in, you're staying at an outside hotel, your parking is $2 less than the Disney hotel? Isn't it $22 a day?
It's more. At the most expensive Disney hotels, it's $24. At the medium level hotels, it's $19. They even tier
them. Okay. All right.
The cheapest hotel, which is still more than $100 a night, it's $13 to park every single night. If you just want to drive in and park, it's $22.
See,
so you can't get out of it.
I think this is their strategy to get people to come without cars so they keep them at the Disney parks rather than going to see Harry Potter World at Universal. That's my take on it.
They've done other things to try to do that. And they've had a meal plan that they added. They have a bus from the airport that they've added. But this is sort of a misstep because there's no other way to interpret this but as a deterioration of customer service, which goes against the Disney reputation, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's a real misstep. And even Disney's fans are having a hard time justifying. It's a small thing, but it's typical of what's happening in the hospitality industry right now that, the hospitality is not exactly forefront of their minds anymore.
Well, it's all about nickel and diming and getting every little fee possible from the visitor.
And there will be a blowback eventually. I think people do get tired of this, even though, it's $13 or $20 a day. They remember that didn't used to exist and now it does, and they're upset that they now have to do it. And that's just not good PR.
Yeah, I agree. Let's turn back to the phones. We have Estelle calling from Brooklyn. Hey, Estelle, nice to speak with you. Thanks for calling.
Nice to speak with you, too. I wonder if you could tell me something about Guatemala. We are two women traveling alone, and we've heard a lot about how dangerous it is, but we really would like to go.
Well, Guatemala has one of the highest murder rates in the world, but because of the fact that they had a civil war for 30 years there that ended about two decades ago, but still reverberates. Mm-hmm. And so the people killing each other are Guatemalans. They're not really targeting the tourists. I've been to Guatemala. I consider it one of the most fascinating, beautiful, heartwarming places I've ever been to. Yes, there is great poverty there. Yes, you have to be careful. But I think it is acceptably safe. I took my family there. I took my kids with me, and I would take them again. And it's a place you want to support. It's a place that was behind the scrim of violence for 30 years. Now it's getting back on its feet. It has gorgeous colonial architecture. It has people who dress in traditional costume, not for the tourists, but because that's how they dress, because traditional culture is still so strong there. So I would not say don't go. Just keep your wits about you. That's what I'd say.
Okay. I'm so happy to hear that. Now, besides Antigua, do you have any advice of where else to go?
Well, you want to go to Chichicastenango, and I love being able to say that word, one of my favorite words.
Well done. Congratulations.
Which is one of the great market towns of the world. Uh-huh. People come from all of the mountain villages all around and have this massive market twice a week where you will find the most beautiful handcrafted goods. And there's also a fascinating church there. Like many churches, it was built on the ruins of a Mayan temple. And so actually the traditional folks, the Mayan shamans, come in and do their rituals in the middle of the church. Apparently the priest tried to kick them out and people stopped coming to church, so they had to allow them to do that. You want to go to Lake Atitlan, which Aldous Huxley called the most beautiful lake in the world, and he might be right, because along the shores of the lake are all of these Mayan villages where you visit people living very much the way they have for hundreds of years. So those are the three top places to go. There are more. I wouldn't say go to Guatemala City itself. It's kind of a that's the dangerous place in Guatemala.
Okay.
The most dangerous. But have a wonderful time. And some people go to Tikal, which is one of the most important Mayan ruins in Central America and is extraordinary. If you've seen some of the Star Wars movies, they filmed some of it around those ruins. But anyway, have a wonderful time, Estelle. I love Guatemala. We have to take a quick break to Pat. We will come back to you as soon as we take this one commercial message.
Get a jump on vacation plans. The Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran, 77 WABC.
Okay, we have one more segment. You can call us. 800-848-9222 is the number, and that is the number that Pat in Long Branch, New Jersey called. Thank you for calling, Pat. Nice to speak with you.
Hi. We're going to Australia for 2 weeks, and we're going to go to Sydney and Brisbane. I was wondering where else you would recommend, you know, we go. It's such a huge country that we don't know, you know, what else to choose.
Well, if you're divers, you won't want to miss the Great Barrier Reef. It's dying at a rapid pace, so you have a great opportunity to have a look at it. To do that, you need to... Most people go out of Cairns, which is up the coast from Brisbane, further along in Queensland. But Melbourne is also one of the great cities of the world. It's great food, lots of different types of people, terrific museums, this adorable tram network that runs through it. It's just one of these places where everyone I know who's gone wishes they could pack up and move immediately.
I agree. So Melbourne is
a great place. I also, you know, people often talk about Uluru, which we used to call Ayers Rock, which is in the center of the country, and it's that magical red stone, enormous, it takes like 2 hours to walk around it, that just rises up out of the outback. That's a really mystical, beautiful place, but you have to fly to get there. It's sort of the equivalent of from New York to St. Louis. But there are a lot of little places to stay a couple miles away from it so that, you know, everyone kind of troops out in the morning and has a look at it and then troops back in the evening and just sort of enjoys themselves in the middle of the desert all night. It's a great place to go if you have the time. And I also suggest something offbeat, a little town called Coober Pedy. That is in the deserts of South Australia, which is a state. And Coober Pedy used to be an opal mining town, still is a little bit. So on the surface, it just looks like rusty machinery and not much else because everyone lives in their old mines underground. You know, it's a leak. If you want another bedroom in your house, you just sort of dig into the wall and then cart out the rocks, and maybe you'll find some opals while you're at it. And there's lots of little places to stay and eat in the old mines underneath. The people are kind of friendly, and it's got a real bohemian vibe there. But, you know, you'll probably have to drive or fly to get to Coober Pedy, but it's one of the most unique landscapes I think you've ever been to in the world.
You know, Pat, we have a very good book out written by an Australian. It's called Frommer's Easy Guide to Australia. You should pick it up. You'll get lots of ideas there and ideas of how to string together a logical itinerary. We have some other calls. Let's turn to Chris in Manhattan. Hey, Chris, quickly, what's on your mind?
Hi. How you doing? I'm interested in going to Cuba for 3 or 4 days, but I don't necessarily want to stay there or eat the food in the restaurants and stuff because, you know, I'm concerned about the refrigeration and I'm a vegetarian and stuff. Are there any cruises that you can go to and just stay on the ship at night and eat your meals?
Yeah, that's the most common way to do it now because it's now illegal to go on your own. You have to go either on a cruise ship or a tour. Just go to a site like vacationstogo.com. You'll find dozens of options. I know that
Carnival just added 17 new sailings for next year on the Sensation. So there's lots of chances, especially on Carnival out of Florida.
But they also, other ones are doing it. You'll have to go through Florida. Let's see if we have time for Chris in Long Island. Hey, Chris, nice to speak with you. Quickly, what's on your mind?
My daughter, 24 years old, and her friend are going to Thailand in 2 months. Uh-huh. And as a father, I'm a little concerned about safety issues. And I was wondering if you could either make me feel better or give me information to inform them the best possible way.
I think Thailand is acceptably safe. I mean, they have to be a little careful after dark. There can be some sketchy areas of Bangkok, but for the most part, people have no problems in Thailand.
It's very, very popular with young travelers. So there's a huge network of fellow travelers that they can be with. Most of the people who get in trouble in Thailand get really drunk. They make the sort of mistakes that people make like at a frat house party, you know, and it ends in tears.
Or in spring
break.
So
most of the stuff, most of the stuff that happens is just because they've had too much to drink and it's late at night and they've gone home with the wrong person. If she can handle life here and make smart decisions, she can handle Thailand.
And with that, we have to say goodbye for this week. It's been so much fun being here with you. We thank you so much for listening. And to those who are traveling, may we wish you a hearty bon voyage.
Bon voyage.